Okay, well, hello everybody. This is Richard Stamp from Fringe Guru, and I'm sitting at the moment in the Tristan Bates Theatre, a lovely, small, intimate, quite fringe-like theatre, but in the heart of Theatreland in the West End. And I'm actually on the set of the current production, so I guess I can tell my friends that I've been on stage in the West End now. And I'm here as guests of Three's Company, who have brought their show Play on Words to the Tristan Bates Theatre for the last few weeks. Why don't you introduce yourself, guys?
I'm Yaz.
My name's Mike.
And I'm Tom.
So, your first outing to London, after a couple of, well, actually three quite successful runs up at the Edinburgh Fringe. First trip here, and most people would have thought that was enough, but not you. You've built up into a whole little mini festival.
Yeah. So alongside Play on Words, we're running the Reactivity season, which is a season to explore audience in the world of theatre and their place and what they can do and why they're there and that sort of thing, and interactivity.
Yeah, yeah. Particularly focusing on work that challenges or thinks again about the traditional relationship between audience and performer. So, interactive theatre, if you like. Mm.
So we have interactive performances, we have symposiums and scratch works, and play readings where the audience can give feedback, which is then incorporated into the reading.
So we'll come back to that a bit later on, because I'm really quite keen to talk about that. And in fact, we're meeting just before the third seminar, when we're expecting Ian Shuttleworth from the FT and many other luminaries to come along and contribute.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting, for me as well, very exciting. But let's start with Play on Words. So I don't want to focus too much on the play, because it's coming to the end of its run. Do you think that you'll ever put it on again, or is this the final curtain?
Without it being spoken particularly between us, we all seem to be feeling like, certainly in the foreseeable future, it's the end of the line. It will be the 99th performance that Three's Company has done of Play on Words tonight, in a series of different places. And it seems to make sense for it to end here in London, in the West End, in a full production with a lot of people involved. And I think we've all feel like it's got to the point we really wanted it to get to. So it makes sense for that to be.
What's been nice about this one is Tom saying it feels like it's the play I wanted to do now, you know, in the space that we have and the cast that we have, and that's great to finish with it working, I think.
Yes, because Tom is both the writer and the director, which is quite a job to take on. If you don't mind my asking, how old were you when you wrote Play on Words for the first time?
I was 19.
19?
Yeah.
I think my first thought on seeing it is that it's a surprisingly mature play for what is, don't take this the wrong way, but what is a very young company. Mm. I mean, what do you think your influences were there? I thought maybe I sensed a bit of Stoppard coming through.
Yes, certainly when I was 19, I wasn't nearly as well versed in plays as I, well, I'm slightly better now, and Stoppard was one of my major influences earlier. It had been things like Miller and Eightbourne. Traditional drama like that, and I wanted to write something that played with ideas but also had a storyline, and then the other major influence is Three's Company itself, which by that time already was developing slightly a style of mixing comedy and using comedy as a tool to create emotional effect, and also using the audience as a tool to create emotional effect as well, so that was a big influence in creating it as well.
It is, in many ways, it's quite a dark play, although, unless you've read a review, you perhaps don't realise that until you come to the last 20 minutes or so. But there is a lot of comedy in there as well. And, yeah, perhaps I could bring you in, because I feel that your character is perhaps the most comedic of the people on the stage. So what's your take on that? Are you seeing it as a tool? Are you seeing it as a way to get laughs? Or not?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Like Tom says, comedy has always been at the heart of what we do. And so where we came from immediately before Play on Words was doing either complete comedies or very, very serious plays and trying to make them as funny as possible. So at that point we were talking very, very explicitly about using comedy just as a tool. And Eddie's character is the sort of shows that, going from that pure comic, is just there as a fall guy at the beginning to the one who's driving and delivering, you know, the seriousness of the story at the end. And I've forgotten the question.
I think that wraps it up very nicely, actually, yeah. Yes. Mike, sorry, are you Mike?
Mike or Michael is completely up to anyone, really.
Let's go for Mike. I guess yours is perhaps the tragic character. Mm. And I was very, very impressed by the performance. Do you feel that you've grown into that role or moved on with that role? Have you shaped it yourself, or has it shaped you?
I think what's interesting is that Yaz has played Eddie...
Since the beginning.
It was always Yaz's part. And Fred wasn't my part. So when I came into it, I'd seen it done quite a few times and worked on it. So it's something that's definitely developed over Edinburgh when we all switched the parts and seeing lots of different people. Seeing these two guys do it and seeing Ian do it years before. And it just felt like I want to do something with that. I want to give that a go. I wanted to work on the journey and put some of those elements at the end of a man who's, you know, not very well, and try and have that in the comedy as well, and let's see whether that can filter through right from the start. And that was always what I tried to think about.
It is interesting how, when Michael took on the part, how it clicked, how suddenly that character had a new sort of sense. And that's no disrespect to any of the others, including myself, that had a go at Fred. It's just something about that relationship that we found on stage made some sense between the tragic and the comic, between the two guys or the three guys, that really brought something out of the text, I think.
And it's always been that I think me and Yaz have a lot of fun working together, and we'll always have. It's quite difficult to look at Yaz and not corpse. So we do enjoy each other.
I think that was a compliment.
Yes, it was. It was absolutely a compliment.
Let's just talk briefly about your last Edinburgh run. I have to be honest, when you invited me along to this, I was really surprised, because we all know that I wasn't very polite about what you did. Tom, why don't you first of all explain what it was that you were trying to do, and then I'll follow up with some questions.
In Edinburgh, when we did Play on Words, we added the element that the three male characters in the play would be played by the three of us, but a different one each night, or afternoon, as it was. Partly because we'd done it before in Edinburgh, and we wanted to bring something new to the show, and it seemed like an exciting new style. So we actually had the audience on each day choose, through a little brief audition, lasted about 3 minutes, who was going to play which part. So I might be Fred one night, and then I'd be Johnny the next, and I might be playing against Yaz as Eddie one day, and then I'd be playing against Michael as Eddie the next, and it was six completely different shows.
Yeah, six combinations.
And it was also about trying to make a Three's Company stamp, wasn't it? Saying this is, you know, these three guys run Three's Company, and that's the identity is the three of them, and that was always part of the reason that we did it, to say, "Hi guys, it's us three."
Yeah. The togetherness, the collective.
So the question that I want to ask about that experience is: you came to Edinburgh. It was a successful run. I don't want to give anybody the impression that it wasn't. And then a critic comes along and says, "I just don't think that was a good idea." How do you deal with that kind of feedback, which isn't really something that you can correct, but it's just saying that it wasn't a good idea?
To be honest, at the point, I mean, qualify what I'm about to say by saying we really enjoyed swapping the parts, and there were a lot of artistic as well as the pure fun of it. There were a lot of artistic justifications for it, and it was so fascinating to see, particularly with that play, just how different all six were. But I think as we were doing the run, we did come to the conclusion that this is stretching ourselves a little thin. So with that particular critique, we sort of agreed. There wasn't a great deal we could do to change it at that point. And we carried on slickening up, and I think it came relatively early in the run.
It was fairly early, yes.
And of course, there were certain combinations that flowed better together anyway. So as the run went on, I think subconsciously we must have been encouraging the audience to pick those more because they did seem to come out more. But yeah, it was helped by the fact that we'd sort of seen that criticism coming because we were starting to feel it ourselves.
You pointed out that if you have six compilations of a show, then each one is going to have a sixth of the rehearsal time that one production alone would have, and that led to, in some of the performances, it seeming a little less rehearsed than it would have been otherwise. And that's obviously just a point that I think we all saw it coming, and it's definitely true. But switching both other things to the show that wouldn't have been there, it was something we hadn't done before, and I think we all agree that it was still a good idea, even if you do get critics who think otherwise. There's, in a sense, for us, a bigger picture that we were looking at. It isn't always necessarily just about exactly how polished a performance is, although sometimes it is.
And then we came to London, and it was about the play rather than about the company, and I think that we would never, ever have done it if the idea was to just be about Tom's words.
Yeah.
We'd never have switched the parts, I think, if that was the case.
And equally, if none of us were in it, we were just producing the play, I don't think we would have hired three actors to keep switching them, you know. It was about, although there's so much in the play that it brings out other meanings and other excitements. And there were several people who came a few times in order to see the different combinations. Mm. Actually, to be honest with you, even before we switched parts, in previous runs, there were people who'd want to come more than once anyway, because it's that sort of play. But yeah, it was, because it was so much about that three-way thing, that it made sense. And I think in that respect, it was successful. People did come along. It told people a lot about our relationship as a trio and our identity. You know, Three's Company's identity is all about the interplay between these three people, I hope.
One final question on Play on Worth, just before we move on. So I think I described it as a clever play for clever people. It is quite an intellectual exercise, and it does ask the audience to really pay attention. Did you have any concerns about that?
I definitely think there are some people that don't like plays like that. I'm not as good a writer as Tom Stoppard. He writes unbelievably good plays, and there are still lots of people who just hate them. And they don't just think, I don't particularly like that. They get quite angry about it because it can feel a bit elitist. But my, just looking at it as a writer, my job is to write the sort of plays that I would like to see in the theatre. and I believe some of the people really enjoy plays that challenge the audience a bit and present them with, you know, a very wide range of, you know, sometimes quite difficult things. And I enjoy them, and some people don't. But you have to do what, you know, seems true to you, and it is indeed part of my style. And possibly Three's Company style, I'm not sure.
So on that subject of challenging audiences, it's a good moment to move forward into the wider picture here. The style of theatre which you've dubbed interreactivity, I believe. Is that a term you're sticking with?
The history of the term was simply because we've been looking at interactivity in theatre. That's after comedy, that was the next step of our kind of obsession. if you like, and we started to develop very clear ideas of the sort of interactivity we were interested in, and what worked and what didn't in that sense, what was good and what was bad. And we suddenly realised we turn around and say, interactive theatre must be this, interactive theatre must be that, and that's just not true. So we thought, right, we just need another term to describe what we mean when we say interactive theatre. And I think the term interreactive came almost as a joke. We're just looking, I mean, you know, we're thinking, just need something.
Yeah.
And then, but it's sort of stuck.
It's sort of stuck, and there's also another term that we've been talking about, which is narrative interaction. Mm-hmm. And that's, you can explain better about that.
The point that Yas has made is the key was to use a word that, or a term people haven't heard before, even if it isn't a very good word. The idea is just so people don't have expectations. When you say interactivity, everyone has an idea what that means, and they're all different. Mm. So it's really a very useless word.
So it's about breaking out of the box, in a sense. So let's try to make it concrete. so let's think about your ideal experience, where you're trying to get to, where you're trying to take your audience. So I turn up, are we in a theatre?
That depends. We're the sort of work we're interested in could exist either in a theatre or not. Mm-hmm. Although largely we've been preoccupied with fitting into a theatre space, because that's just I guess that's what's interesting us. But it does apply, the ideas that we're talking about, it does apply to site-specific, free-roaming work, theatre work, but you know, not auditorium and stage-based. And we do have a project in the pipeline, it's been in the pipeline for some years and probably will be for some years more, that will be a free-roaming, site-specific, interactive piece of theatre.
What we like to think of is that, say with auditorium, we'll play the play, which is the possible extension of that, is that when an audience comes to our piece of interactive theatre... Oh dear.
One of the hazards with doing this on the stage is that we all have a few noises on. since we've been interrupted, I'll just explain that auditorium was your work from a couple of years ago at Edinburgh, which actually was the first work I saw you in. That was one where the audience got to influence the plot just a little bit at key moments. They could either do something or not do something, and that affected the direction it took.
And we like to think that our interaction is about giving the audience a chance to do exactly that and be involved in both the story and the characters and change them, whilst never losing the fact that they paid for a ticket and they should get a story. Mm. So that's why narrative interaction sort of came up. Have I said that right?
That's certainly an element of it. I mean, the other fairly key thing for that was that, as in auditorium, there was no sort of stepping out of character, either for the audience or the actors to say, you know, what will happen next. The audience were a character in the play, you know, in that case, you know, the play took place in a parallel dimension that had a sci-fi link to the auditorium, so people discovered the actual audience in the auditorium. So the audience would see things that happened and then would have the opportunity to tell other characters about it or not. And that's where it comes down to, is the idea that the audience always sort of play themselves. They're always in character. There's no moving away from the story to make the conceit work. It's always within the story.
Mm-hmm. So I've come along to one of these plays. I'm a larger-than-life character, so I always sit in the front row. Need I be concerned? Are you going to be bringing me up onto the stage, or is it very much an optional experience?
It is. With auditorium play-the-play type shows, when we put our interactivity in the traditional theatre setting, which is one important branch of it, it's definitely got to be about entertainment, and some people would turn up not really knowing how much interactivity there would be, and they have to enjoy themselves. So you need to be aware, if they don't want to be involved, to not be. But what we do often find is the people who are quite reserved and like to hold back and certainly don't want to jump up on stage and suggest themselves do actually have a great time if you pull them up on stage and make it clear to them that they can't fail, they can't do anything wrong, they can't embarrass themselves. The actors are going to embarrass themselves by, you know, getting into silly situations that require the audience. But once you make that clear to them, then we hope that everyone wants to come on stage, and so then they do, and they want to not mess things up. So hopefully, yes, you would, but you don't have to, or you might, you know, do the same sort of thing from your seat.
Yeah.
What we're describing, of course, is our ideal. Whether we've succeeded at that every single time is something which will come up in the symposium later on today.
Yes, it certainly will.
I'll have to excuse myself in a couple of minutes.
Yes, in fact, we really ought to be wrapping up because we all need to get ready for today's events. So, just a final thought. So, you've set out your destination. We really could have talked for another hour about your ideas, about interactivity. Do you think that what you're trying to do is achievable?
We hope so. In fact, yes, I do think it is. I think it's difficult.
As achievable as anything else. I think, you know, a play that that's totally properly, perfectly rehearsed, and no one gets a line wrong ever, and every audience can hear every word, and has the right emotional effects on every audience member, is achievable. But Infinity is achievable, but never will actually exactly hit that. But I hope we come. I think it's as achievable as anything else. I think we can come pretty damn close.
I mean, it takes a couple of years. Yeah, that luckily every step along the way, I think, is a worthwhile thing in itself. I think auditorium went maybe 10% towards, probably about 5% towards what we'd like to achieve. But it was a good show. We were very pleased with it, even though it only went a tiny step along the way. It was still worthwhile. People got a lot from it.
It was a great show, I have to agree with you, and 20 times the auditorium would be mind-blowing. any hints to share on the next step? Can you tell us anything about what you might be bringing to Edinburgh this year?
There's a few, yeah, I think that's right. Three possibilities.
So one of them, just following on from what I said, one of them is to take auditorium that next step further. You said that there were points where the audience could affect it. We want there to be many, many more points where the audience can affect it while still getting a story and still remaining in that same dialectic situation with a fourth wall that can be walked through so that you're not leaving the world. You're always a part of it. And you're not going to ruin anything, but you can change things. And to get closer to that model, its working title is Play the Play. Could be this year in Edinburgh, could be the next year in Edinburgh. That's one of the projects that we have in the pipeline.
Okay, three possibilities. Let's have one for each of you.
The other possibility is a play called Reverie that Tom wrote this year. And it had a rehearsed reading here, two rehearsed readings here. And it was very successful, and it's a very exciting piece, and that would be one of the other possibilities to come.
Yeah, and by three possibilities, I suppose I should clarify, there's two possibilities and two halves. okay. There's the next step, we're working towards, this. I mentioned the site-specific interactive project. That won't be this year at Edinburgh. There was a time where we thought that was a possibility, but we've decided to push that a bit further away, just for practical reasons. The other piece that we're working on that we're looking to take further, of course, is Adventure Time, which is playing with some of those interactive ideas, very specific ones. It's leaving aside other ones intentionally. But that's just an out-and-out comedy series where a comic trio are trying to record a radio show. Luck is not on their side. With rebellious technology and infighting amongst them, things go wrong, and thankfully the audience are there to help save the day.
Well, I'm looking forward to whatever you bring, and as I'm sure you've heard, the techies are starting to walk around us and the producer is starting to move us on, so it's time to leave the stage. So to all of you from Three's Company, thank you very much for chatting to me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to catching up with you next time.
Yes, thank you so much.